the National Archives podcast series, Cataloguing Projects During 2016, the W.E. Haywood Collection, Railway Photographs, Postcards and Ephemera, presented by Stephen Cable.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk to you this morning about one of the special collections which is held at the National Archives. And by special collections, what I mean is it's a series of records that we've accessioned which weren't actually generated by a central government department. And they've come to us via a route which we'll touch upon a bit later. So the record series is a collection of magazines, photographs, timetables, maps and various ephemera all related to railways. And this material was collected by W.E. Haywood, who was an engineer who had a great love for railways. He worked for a railway company, and it contains round about 10,000 magazine articles, 919 brochures, and getting on for 9,000 photos and postcards, and around about 15,000 railway tickets. Now, I should just say why I'm involved in this project is I have done none of the hard work which has gone into the cataloguing this project. My role within ARC is I deal with the photographs which can be found across record series, particularly from the 1850s onwards here at the National Archives. And the ZSPC 11 series is very photograph rich, which is why I got involved in it. But the hard work has actually been done by the team made up of Cliff Edwards, Mel Draper, Chris Heaton and Robin Lindsay. And I'd also like to mention the late Roy Bell, who we lost last year, but did an awful lot of work on this material. Cliff was one of the client managers that worked here at the National Archives, and he goes out to government departments, or he went out to government departments in various places, liaising with the departments that accession records with us. And Cliff also wrote the old Railway Records Guide, the research guide, which is out of print now, but it was available. And this was a definitive guide to the railway records that we hold here. And when Cliff left us, he said that the ZSPC 11 was the worst catalogued series of railway records that we had here. So he kind of kept it in his mind. And Cliff, throughout the last 6 years, has been coming in and working on the records and cataloguing them. And gradually we've built a bigger team around Cliff, made up of the guys I just mentioned. And they've been working on this series now for, it's just over 5 years, I think. So how it came to be here is Haywood wished to leave the collection to the nation. And he approached various organisations at the time, which could have been deemed suitable homes for it. But ultimately it went to the British Transport Historical Record, which used to be up at Paddington. And it was there at Porchester Road, and people had access to it in their reading rooms there. I think Porchester Road finally closed down in the mid-90s, and the collections were split between various institutions. A lot of material went to the National Railways Museum up at York, and we also accessioned a number of record series from what was held there. So to give you an idea of what was within the collection, you can see an example of how the photographs and postcards are housed within the collection. Haywood is a very idiosyncratic system. Card reinforced binders, ring binders. And as you can see from the example, you've got multiple photographs and postcards housed within envelopes, which he then attached to the card binders, the cards within the binders. And the good thing about this is they've been held very securely and are in very, very good condition. But another big problem for us is because all this material is essentially loose, once people start looking at the material, it's very easy to lose track and to lose material, to mislay material. And also, we weren't entirely sure what was in the collection.
So the cataloguing has all been dealing with that problem. As well as photographs and postcards, there's a whole range of railway ephemera. Examples here of goods labels, which he collected from various branch lines, etc., across the country. So it's the sort of thing that you will find, along with an extensive collection of railway tickets, housed, as you can see here, in the ring binders. But also there's several volumes which contain unfixed tickets within them, which are also highly collectible. So this is something which the team have been going through and cataloguing at item level on discovery. This is a typical example of how he, from various publications like the Railway Magazine, would buy multiple copies and go through and then cut the magazines up and bring the material on the various companies, the various branch lines together within the volume. So making it, you've got sections which deal with the different companies and the different branch lines. So once you get into it and you know what you're looking for, it is very, very user-friendly in how it's arranged once you know what you're looking for, because you have the material grouped together by the branch line, by the company, etc. There's an example of a railway timetable, which is part of the ephemera that you find a lot of, posters you find in there. And one of the most unusual examples which was found when the team was going through is a cake of London Midland and Scottish railway soap, which would have been used in the lavatories on the trains there. There was also things like nameplates, railway buttons, badges, etc. Some of that material, which wasn't really suitable to come to us, like the nameplates, so which you would get on the side of the engines, they went up to the National Rail Museum up in York. And here we've got an example of what we can now search in Discovery. So I chose this quite at random when I was putting together the presentation, but it will give you an idea of the item level descriptions which are being added to Discovery. So it can be searched by place, by company name, by pretty much anything that you think, you know, could be appropriate to the collection. And this is now all searchable on Discovery. There are also original documents in it, as well as the photographs, postcards, tickets, etc. Of particular interest to railway buffs is the correspondence with T.R. Perkins, who some of you may know, was a very famous railway enthusiast who, during the 30s, 40s and 50s, travelled every mile of all of the railways in Britain and Ireland, and was an extensive and well-known collector of railway ephemera and a railway historian. But a bit of a sad ending to the story is, as an engineer, he did have an accident with a lathe early in his career, which meant that he had to retire early. And I guess that's why he had so much time to put towards this collection. But increasingly, with his eyesight failing in the late 1960s, unfortunately, he took his own life. And Michael Windeatt, who's also very well known amongst railway buffs and had worked with Hayward on his collection, took it upon himself to carry on the work, to catalogue and to bring it together, to put it in a presentable form. And this became known as the Wei Ling collection, which is what W.E. Hayward used to term it himself. Wei, W-E-H, made of Hayward's initials, and Lin, L-Y-N, which was the name of a locomotive that used to run on the Linton and Barnstaple Railway. And it was when Hayward was a very young man, well, a young boy, not a young man, a young boy, he had a ride on the footplate. And it was from that genesis that his love of railways sort of blossomed and grew, it's what we have in the collection today. It's not entirely finished. As I say, it's been going on for over 5 years now. It started with just Cliff working alone on the collection, but through various connections that we had with the National Railway Museum at York and the Southern Friends of the National Railway Museum, the broader team has been brought together. And as a group of people, I mean, their railways knowledge is really second to none. So we're very lucky to have this team working on the collection for us because of the unique individual input that they can put into the descriptive element of the material that we've got, and being able to draw on their expertise here at the TNA. We've got just over 70% of it fully catalogued now. There are 422 pieces in all. We're just over the 300 mark at the moment. And it's probably going to take best part of another 2.5 years to complete the series. So a couple of years down the line, hopefully we'll be letting you know that the full series has been catalogued and is fully indexed. So I think I can really wind up there.
Okay.
Thank you.
This talk was recorded on the 25th of November, 2016, at the National Archives.
This podcast is copyright to the National Archives, all rights reserved. It is available for reuse under the terms of the Open Government Licence.